Welcome to Table Talks with Kay Woodward. Married for more than 43 years, Kay and her husband Galen have three married sons, nine grandchildren, and are longtime pastors in Albuquerque, New Mexico. With the recent release of her new cookbook, which is filled with treasured recipes and stories, she's excited to bring you into her world of faith and family. So, take a seat at the table with Kay as she welcomes special guests from varied backgrounds and stages of life to dive into relevant and important topics of today. Please enjoy today's episode.
I'm so excited about today's podcast. I'm joined by Dawn Cherie Wilkerson. She is an inspiring speaker and pastor. She and her husband, Rich Wilkerson Jr., co-pastor the Vue Church in Miami, Florida, and they have three children. And since the recording of this podcast, she has found out she is pregnant with her fourth miracle child. What a story. I can't wait for you to watch or listen to this podcast as we talk about Don't Waste the Wait. Well, welcome, Dawn Cherie. And first, I just want to say thank you for joining me today on Table Talks. And I'm just excited to have you on this podcast. So I was thinking back, I think I've known you maybe a little more than 10 years, but around 10 years. And
yes.
I mean, you've been at our church a lot of times. And also your husband, Rich, you've spoken at Flourish Conference and Rally Conference and church services. And he's been also spoken at our conferences. We really think the world of you guys and your family, all of you. So would you
Thank you.
Just all up to speed about your family and how everybody's doing?
Yes, but I just want to say it's such an honor to be with you today. I just love you. I love your family. Just so honor everything that you've given your life to. And yeah, your life has impacted all of our faith and we're grateful for that. I live in Miami, Florida. I have three children right now, 6 years old, 4 years old, 2 years old, two boys who are the oldest, and then a baby girl named Waylon. And I've been married for 18 years now this summer to my husband, Rich. And we planted a church called Vue after serving at my husband's parents' church for 8 years. 8 years ago, we planted Vue, and it is a church right in the heart of Miami. And so we've been on that adventure for the last 8 years. And also, we went on an infertility journey for 8 years. And so prayed for these babies, and now they're here. So really grateful for it.
Busy. I was funny because when you came in the chat room just a minute ago to start the Zoom, it said Wyatt is here.
Yeah.
Because usually mine says Asher, which is a grandson.
Yes.
I changed it to say Galen and Kay because it said Asher's on. And I'm like, Asher's not even here, but I get it.
Yeah. Nothing belongs to me.
No, nothing belongs to them.
It's all theirs.
And you've got all the kids and your ministry. You add church planting. So now that I have a son and daughter-in-law that are church planters, I understand the life of a church planter, just that. If you just had that one thing.
Yeah, it's so true.
Your schedule. Oh, my gosh.
It's crazy. We laugh. You know, you don't know what you're getting into, but it's been the best adventure. And yeah, we had in our hearts for several years and then started the church in 2015. And yeah, it's a wild ride, but it's beautiful. You know, I think the fuel is hearing people's stories of life change, how God has impacted them, the community that they found, not being isolated or alone anymore, and just taking a step day by day together. It's great. You know all about it. You've been doing it a lot longer than me.
Well, how do you, you know, but it's different. Honestly, my husband and I say all the time, the way that being a pastor now is in 2024 versus when we started ministry in 1981, it's a whole different world. And the pace is so much faster. Our life's paces are so much faster. So honestly, I look at you and you look, I mean, on social media, and when you speak, when you preach at church, your life seems, it feels very balanced. How do you do that? How are you balancing? Because I know you lived for these children, for them to be in your life. So they're there.
Yes,
how do you family and ministry? How do you prioritize all that?
Yeah, I'm trying to get this computer a little closer to me so I can lean back in my chair and get comfortable.
No problem.
how do I balance all of it? You know, I think that is just discerning the season and knowing what's needed. And the older I get, the more I'm able to listen to my body and know when I can push and when I can rest, and knowing when, okay, we need to plant some more seeds, you know, like, because so oftentimes you plant seeds and then a harvest comes and you can just kind of live off of that for a little while and glory in that. And it's like, no way, like we're called, the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few, but we got to get out there and we got to keep sowing seeds in our community of love, you know, not get just stuck in the four walls. We need to be out and about in our community, meeting people, loving people. And I think as time goes on, the temptation is to just get comfortable in what you've worked so hard to create with others, when it's like, no, there's a whole city that desperately needs Jesus. We got to stay true to the foundations. And I think that just reminding ourselves of that and reminding ourselves of what kind of community we want our children to grow up in, you know, I think that is a huge encouragement too, to like just continue to fight to focus. And so I think when it comes to balance or you know, just stewarding seasons, which is kind of the way that I look at it, like, I think that it's discerning what's needed in the moment, not getting so wrapped up in the way that we always did it, taking continual inventory of the calendar and how you feel and what that season looked like and how that felt and what do we want to do in the future? What could be a little different? And just tweak it as you go and be sensitive to the Spirit's leading of when you need to create space. You know, I think
you both are really close to your families. You're like, you're very close. You have a lot of brothers and sisters, I feel.
Yes.
And mom and dad, and Rich is also very close to his family. So you probably have those people speaking in your life too. And you had such great examples. Both you have your sets of parents.
Yeah. I think our parents have been really encouraging, and our parents have given everything for the ministry, just like you guys. And so while they encourage us to take care of ourselves, they also encourage us to go for it, you know, to love with all of our hearts, to forgive, to trust, to try again. And they're just always that. They're always those voices in our ear encouraging us to believe God, to do miracles, and to keep living just in that tension of trust.
And your kids are such a huge part of doing ministry with you that it's a family thing. I watched that. It was that way with us. And now our son, Dustin, and also Brandon, their kids are such a part of the ministry that the kids don't feel like that they're, you know, that the choice that you guys are having to make a choice. They're in it with you. I see it all over.
Yeah. Thank you. We work at that. You know, we're still working on that, figuring out a way to, I think it's important to bring your kids along. I think that sometimes people say, well, if I serve on Sunday, you know, then what are my kids going to do the second time in service? And I always laugh and say, well, if your kids are in school for 40 hours a week, you know, they can handle 3.5 hours, you know, or whatever on a Sunday of hearing God's word. Like they can handle being there a little longer than the normal, just hour and a half service. If you're serving, it's like, I always think with my kids, well, what are they going to do if they weren't at church? Like, would they be home playing Legos? Is that more beneficial to me than them being around the body of Christ and serving and just absorbing this community that we get to be a part of? I always laugh on Sundays. I'm like, what's better than this? Watching a movie at home? No way. Like if you're sitting late after service and talking, they're absorbing all of the aspects of what community is.
Because that's who they'll grow up with.
Yeah.
That community for their life. And I think all the time, I sit, we have three services at our central campus, and I sit in all three, and people wonder why I do that. Well, my son's preaching for one thing. And I said, if he was the quarterback of a football team, I would be at every game. So when he's quarterback,
I love it.
I sit in every service to watch him, you
that's
know,
great.
That's his thing. And, but we need to hear it a lot. So your kids, if every adult sat in every service, maybe we get the concept of what we're trying to do.
You know, I love that. Yeah, you do have to hear it repeated.
I know. I tell the kids, just preach the same thing every week. They don't have it. I promise you. We don't have it yet.
None of us have it yet, right?
Go back to the basics. But you do such a, I think Rich last week posted something about I probably have the wrong name, but he was at the beach with the kids. Daddy's day, you must have been busy. And he had the kids at the beach. I don't know if you were there.
Yes, he was. I wasn't there. I was working on
something. And I think, you know, that's how my husband did. Rather than thinking, you know, we've got to find something with our kids, he just embraced it. Like, this is my special time with kids. I felt that in that post.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, he's the best. We waited so long to have kids that you just are so grateful for the moments we cherish every day.
Well, we can make, you know, just move into that because I'm going to, all the other questions kind of revolve around, you know, you were on a journey that you and Rich for, you said 8 years of infertility. And that, I'm thinking back, that means I must have, you know, we must have met.
Yes.
You know, that we're still not really probably thinking kids yet, because everybody thinks, well, we'll just start trying and have kids.
Yeah. So we would have been in that infertility journey. And I think that because it would have started like.
That's right.
It would have started about 14 years ago. And I think that I found out on my 25th birthday that I was going to have trouble having kids just through a blood test. Like, we had started trying to have a family. And so I told my doctor, and so they just were making sure everything's okay. And it wasn't okay, you know? And so I was just shocked to hear that because, you know, my mom gave birth to 6 kids. There's 7 kids in my family. And I think that had never really crossed my mind that would ever be a challenge for me. And so that started for my 25th birthday, just those 8 years of waiting and trusting. And I think during the wait, I learned so much about who I am, who God is, and I really wouldn't take the wait back for anything. I'm grateful. There were definitely highs and lows, but I think it's in the low moments that God is the closest, you know, that you can sense that whisper and that he really deposits things in your heart. If you're open to him and surrender, that you really carry forward for the rest of your life. It really redefines and refines you. And I'm really grateful for that season. I think that our marriage didn't get weaker. It got stronger. And I think that my faith got stronger. And I think that I realized, even if I didn't have a baby in my arms, that my heart was fulfilled, that God is faithful, that I have a lot to celebrate here on earth. But I also have a huge inheritance and family and my Savior and my Father and my home and my citizenship. It's all in heaven and it's waiting for me. And so this isn't really the totality of our journey. And so I think as Christ followers, a lot of our strength in any kind of weight comes from understanding the promise of heaven.
Did you have to, you know, there's so many, you know, people in our church. I mean, over the 43 years we've been there, I've walked alongside so many journeys of infant loss or infertility, you know, disappointment and grief in this area. And I sometimes don't even know what to say. You know, I have not walked that journey, and I can't imagine being what it's like to feel so low, to think like, how do I get out of this pit? I mean, how do I, and you just said that, but if you might, you know, talk about it a little bit more, you that you try to find your identity. It couldn't, if you allowed it to be in just being married and having a baby, then the disappointments would be for a lot of people all the time, right? If that was our identity.
Yes. And I think, I mean, you said it so beautifully, like if we center our identity on having a child, then I think that we have really missed the fullness of the gift of God in this life. I love the way that Tim Keller talks about dancing with God, and that our life we aren't meant to be the center of the dance, but we're to dance around others, that we're to live our life really dancing around God and making God the center of our life. But even the picture he gives of the Trinity with the three of them, you know, serving one another, complimenting one another, and that dance that is such a beautiful picture of collaboration. I think a lot of times what our world does to us, the language on infertility, the chat boards, all the different messaging you get, it just makes you and that baby the center of your world. And so your calendar revolves around it, and your emotions revolve around it, and your highs and your lows are just totally predicated on the highs and lows of your infertility journey. And I think that that's a mistake. I think you've got to get a bigger picture for your life, and you've got to not waste your weight and go, no way. Like, the weight is where it happens. There's lots of work to do. There's service. There is loving everyone. There's, because a lot of times the enemy wants to isolate you. So you're just focused on you and your baby and your husband, and are my whole world centers around this dance is about me getting this baby. But you have to get a bigger picture. I'll never forget when I was trying to have a baby, my dad said to me, Dawn Cherie, this is so much bigger than just a baby. Like, this is God deciding when an eternal soul will enter into history. Like, this is about a much bigger plan than just you wanting to have a baby. And that brought so much freedom to me, because if you're not careful, you can have a very small view of this thing, you know, of having children, and think it's just about me, and I can go get a baby just like I go to the supermarket. Let's go make my body work. Like, let's have a baby because we feel like it. But it's really a collaboration with God, and it's the creation of an eternal soul. And God knows the right time, but also He knows what He wants to do in your heart right here, right now. And you don't have to wait until you're pregnant to have an experience with the faithfulness of God, to have a purpose when you wake up in the morning, to know that you're treasured and you're loved. And even as we come up on Mother's Day right now, you know, I think a lot of times mothers, I love Mother's Day, first of all, but I also know what it feels like to be a woman walking into church and leading in church. I preached on Mother's Day while I was walking through infertility, like, to go, oh my gosh, there's a spotlight on my empty arms. Like, why, what do I have to say? And I would just say that, like, the reason why I love the church is because I really believe that we celebrate women, period. Like, if you have a mother's heart, like, you loving the people around you, creating a seat at your table, creating community, celebrating others. Like, you've been a mom all along. Like, I was a mom way before I got pregnant. I'm so grateful to have been a part of local church for those 8 years of infertility, because it was in local church that I got to hold all the babies. You know, I got to go to all the celebrations. I got to host the baby showers for my friends. And instead of hosting the shower and going, oh, everybody probably pities me because I've been trying for 6 years and here I am throwing my best friend's party. And no, like, you can get out of your head. That doesn't have to be the narrative. You can go, oh my gosh, I'm celebrating my friend. Look at what God did. Isn't she beautiful? This baby is blessed. Glory to God. Here's a miracle. You don't even have to get in that stupid mindset of pity and what people think about you. They're not thinking anything. Live your life and love now. So often we isolate when we walk through infertility. We're hoarding all the love that we want to shower on this baby that you could have been loving all along. You could have been loving the people around you, caring for them, being considerate and making a place for others. And so I just always encourage people, don't hold your breath and don't hold your love. Like, just breathe deeply, love deeply, give, don't isolate, don't hide, get out of your head. And just, motherhood is all about, you know it, motherhood is all about selflessness. So it's a good time to practice like some selflessness.
What you just said, that is so huge. Don't hold your breath and don't hold your love. And I feel that, don't you feel like that could be used for any trial we're going through? Because I'm just thinking about myself right now. When I go through a trial and I'm waiting till that trial gets over, because I don't think I can do the next thing because I'm in the middle of this crisis.
Yes.
What you just said, I think, is life-changing for anyone that's listening or watching that, you know, basically you've said several things the same. Don't waste your weight, which is the same thing. Don't hold your breath and don't hold your love.
Yeah.
I've watched from afar, you know, all these years, you coming in and speaking such life in our church. Even when you didn't have children, you prayed over women to conceive when you had not yet conceived. That's huge, because I know people that have a hard time. They won't be able to come to church on Mother's Day. They can't get past it. They have a hard time going to someone's baby shower because they haven't experienced it. Or I can't go to something because I'm going through, you know, my marriage is breaking up right now, or I'm going through this trial or a crisis. So I'm just going to stay. I'm going to isolate and stay in my, you know, little bubble here because I don't want to give, when that's the enemy. Because we all know that if we reach out and give and step outside of ourselves, that's
yes,
where the joy. If I were to describe you, there's a lot of words I could use, but joyful. I know you can't be all the time because you're human, but you are able to get past to me, whatever you're going through. When you get yourself out to minister to people, you are positive and joyful. And I'm sure that's a choice many times.
Yeah. I think that strength comes from joy. You know, if you feel weak, you probably need to check like your gratitude and the lens through which you're looking at life. And I find that I get to tell myself what the story of my life is. That's my job, to reframe through scripture, through faith, through the counsel of the Holy Spirit. So often when we feel defeated or we feel weak or we feel inadequate, it's because we're looking through the wrong lens, and we need to take a moment to allow the Holy Spirit to reframe what we see, to get a higher view. It says, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. And I love that picture of wings like eagles, because, you know, we are only given legs, but it says, if you wait on the Lord, you're given that you'll mount up with wings like eagles. And I really think waiting on God gives you a perspective that you just could never have with your own physical strength or even your intellect. I think that when you wait on God, the Spirit of God, the wind of God, which is what eagles soar on, you know, so eagles' wings, they don't beat. They're too big. So they would exhaust themselves if they had to beat their wings to fly. They really rarely beat their wings to fly. They soar. So they catch the wind and they soar and they glide. And that's a beautiful picture of just relying on the strength of the Holy Spirit. And I just think that, you know, it's very easy from turning on the news or catching up at the water cooler or hearing what's going on all around us to get so defeated and to feel like the world is about to end and to feel like everything is crumbling. But there's so much hope. You know, there's so much hope in God's word. There's so much strength. And I just think fighting for joy, joy is a choice. And so when I start feeling grumpy, when I start noticing some different things about my attitude or my responses, I've got to go back to, okay, where does my joy come from? It comes from gratitude. You know, when I get thankful and grateful, I get joyful. When I get joyful, I get strong. And so there's always something to be grateful for.
You know, because I just know people that will be listening, when you mentioned finding joy and choosing joy and not wasting the wait. You waited a lot of years for your miracle. So was there like a moment or a specific instance? Do you remember like a specific time that, or were you just, did you hand it to God from the very beginning and you were okay with whatever the wait was? Or was there a place that you had to say, you know, a moment? It's something I just,
yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah, I had lots of stages in my walk of infertility. I think the Holy Spirit was so patient with me. That's the cool thing about our God, is his love is so patient. And as long as we keep surrendering, he does so much in us that we didn't even think was possible. And so for the first year, I didn't even tell my parents, who were like my best friends. Like, I just thought I could fix it, which is so human nature. You know, it's like, nobody needs to know that I'm going to an infertility specialist, that I've got all these appointments and all this stuff that I'm doing. Like, I'll fix it before anybody knows that there's a problem. I'll just handle it. And, you know, all they need to know is when I'm pregnant. But a year passed quicker than I could have expected. And I hadn't made any ground and I couldn't fix it myself and I couldn't pull it together. And so telling my parents was a big moment where I realized, why did I wait? I think sometimes we get so caught up in our head. We feel like we don't want to go there. You know, maybe the depths of our heart is too tender. We're afraid of what's going to happen if we open up that door. And I think so often the enemy plants those seeds because he doesn't want us to have deep communion with the people in our lives. He doesn't want us to feel apart. He wants to isolate us. He wants to make us think small. The best decision ever was telling our family, you know, a year into it. And then I really just didn't share it in church for 5 more years. I think it's a very private journey. And so I always encourage people, like, just because someone might give a call for people, I rarely have people stand, you know, that's not really my thing. Mm-hmm. If you're going through infertility, it's a very private part of your body. It's a very private journey. Usually if I'm praying for someone, I'll try to just do it in a way where if it's you, you know, it's you and I'm praying over you right now, you know, because I think that God sees, and that's the most important thing. And I think that, in those 5 years, you know, there are plenty of times that people said, if you have infertility, stand and pray. I love all that. I'm not against it, but I'm just telling you, I didn't stand for those 5 years. I sat in my seat and I said, God, you see me. And I talk to you every day about this. But this is between me and you right now, and my family and my close friends who are praying with me and who surround us in safety. And it was 6 years in that I was going to speak at a conference. And I had preached this sermon a million times about Abraham and Sarah. And for some reason, I just thought, I felt the Holy Spirit say, you're supposed to share. And what's funny is when I'd gotten the invitation for that gathering, I'd gotten it the year before, and I was sure I was going to be pregnant. I mean, because of my doctor's appointments, because of everything, like I was sure. I was 5 years in and I thought, oh, by the time I stand up on that stage, I'm going to have a baby in one hand, Bible in the other, which was a prophecy that someone had given me. And I just guessed God's plan. I thought for sure, okay, God, you line this up perfect. I'll get up. I'll have the baby in one hand, Bible in the other. But I didn't. I wasn't pregnant. Nothing came through. It was all a wash. And I just remember thinking, God, why are you putting this on my heart to share this? I'm supposed to share this when I'm pregnant. The miracle is that I'm pregnant. Like, why would you ever tell me to share my journey? And I really felt the Holy Spirit saying, no, the miracle is that I've been faithful to you every step of the way. That's the miracle. The miracle is not the baby. I mean, that's part of my blessing, but the miracle is I have led you. I've woken you up with purpose. I've been your treasure. I've counseled you. I've comforted you. You haven't wasted this weight because I have been here with you. And it really opened up my eyes to the fact that, like, so often we wait until we have a good story to give a good God praise. But the real story is that when things are really bad, that he's still good. And I just think that was a turning point in my life of, okay, God, like, I see you in a different light, and I see that my real testimony is that you met me here in the wait, and the baby will be a miracle. And I believe with all my heart, that's going to happen one day, but you are the miracle. Wow. You are. And so that was a turning point in my life. And then 2 more years later, we had our baby, and then 2 more.
The first time I saw a picture of you on Instagram with a baby bump, and y'all, you were announcing it. Just to see God's faithfulness. We see it all the time, you know, but sometimes we lose hope when we're waiting, even praying for other people, you know, praying too. And we want that miracle, but to see that day, such a, the answer was, you know, right there. And it was just so beautiful to watch you have the 3 kids.
Well, I got to tell you this, when you're saying that, I think what I try to encourage people who are going through a battle, a private battle, is share with the people that love you. Because when you share with people and you allow them to pray for you, then you don't realize when God answers the prayer, those same people are able to celebrate with you. And you prayed for me and you celebrated with me. And it wouldn't have happened unless I would have been open to share. And so I just try to always encourage people, like, you don't have to share with everybody, but let people in because you need their prayers. But also, like, they want to celebrate with you too. It's dual-sided.
And it builds our faith for those who gather to pray around any instance. It builds, you know, builds our faith, because a lot of times we feel like we're praying prayers that aren't answered. We know there's timing, God's timing, and he's always cooking in the kitchen, whether we can see the cake yet or not. You know, God is cooking, and we know something's happening, but it builds our faith. And I just said, yes, God, you do still do miracles. You do them every day. And I know that they're, you know, I just can't. 8 years is a long time. You know, you said you preached to Abraham and Sarah, and they waited a lot of years themselves.
Yeah, they did.
And you've brought I mean, I've seen your kids on stage with you. I've seen you celebrate that miracle so much. And but I've watched you also. You celebrate people as much as anybody I've ever known. And to do that when you were struggling and probably, you know, it's hard to do that. I've watched you, like I say, just on videos and social media. And when you speak at our church and when you preach at VU, and you've just given such hope to so many people. When I know at times you might have felt, you know, you feel hope the first two or three years you're going through a trial, and then four and five. And then you start thinking, okay, God, maybe I heard you wrong, but you stood firm in his promise. And I think that is just the coolest thing. So, I mean, I know people will be listening that, you know, maybe they're in the wait for a spouse. You know, we have such a young adult ministry, a huge young adult ministry at our church. And I know you guys, it's the same. Your church is young, and a lot of people want a spouse, you know, and sometimes I think, do you really? But they really and they're in the wait, you know, and they think, God, are you hearing me? I know you would like us to, you know, you would like me to have a godly spouse. So that person in the wait, and the one waiting on their physical healing, or the one waiting on, you know, a job that can help relieve financial burden in their life, or, and again, you know, women waiting to have children. And I think that if you could speak to people that are waiting, because I feel like, I mean, in the last maybe 5 years, or even me, for myself, you know, trying to, you know, find, you know, what's next, and what is my path tomorrow, and what's my path the next day? Because I did the same thing for 40 years, and then it changed, and I'm like, what is happening? But in that wait, it's hindsight's 2020, and now I can look back and go, oh, I can see what you were doing. But when we can't see God, what would you say? Yeah. What would you say to people like,
you know,
me?
I would say to focus and to shut out the distractions, because we live in such a distraction full zone, not a distraction free zone. It's life is full of distractions, and the enemy wants you to fill your time with all those distractions as you wait, just thinking, I need to pass my time until I figure it out, until the right man or the white woman comes, until the job comes. I just need to pass my time. I need to get through this. It's like when you're in the waiting room, right? Like most people are on social, or you're scrolling, you're not doing anything.
You get more mad and more mad. While you're in the waiting room, if I'm at the doctor and I'm waiting, I'm thinking, I get more.
You're like agitated, you're impatient. And instead of doing that, I would just say, like, focus and don't waste the time, invest it and use it wisely. And I would say, as you focus on God, because, you know, a lot of times we can just think that the things that we're seeking, like the next season or that person, that they're going to fulfill us. But I love the way Caroline Leaf says it. She says that, like, our brains were created to be addicted to God. It's like we just crave his presence. We crave fulfillment through his word and through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so often we look to other things and they create other addictions. And if you're addicted to God, that's not a bad addiction. That's a good addiction, you know, to be hungry for his word, to be hungry for his presence. And that's going to be what fulfills you the most. So I would just say, if you're waiting, I would say dive deep into God's presence, seeking him, serving him, because he's going to transform you in the wait. He has so much waiting for you. Our God is full of revelation. Like, his presence brings revelation. It brings awakening to us. It opens up our eyes and our ears to things that we would have never heard or seen otherwise. And so there's so much of who God is, which is the whole point of life, waiting for you right now. Like, don't make God wait, because the Bible says he stands at the door and he knocks. And that's not a picture of salvation. That's a picture of every single day. And so often we can just, you know, get our Uber Eats delivery almost, like, okay, God, morning scripture, night prayer, thanks for dropping it off at the front porch. Like, and we can be so focused on everything else when God's like, no, like, I stand at the door, I knock. If you'll open up the door, I'll come in and I'll sup with you. He wants to sit at the table of your heart. He wants to change the narrative of your inner thoughts and of your desires. He will give you the desires of your heart if you let him sit at your table. And so I just say, like, if you feel like you're waiting, like, have you opened up that door daily to God? Because God is waiting too. And there's a lot waiting for you if you, right now, today, like, if you'll just open up that door.
That's just, it's so, so rich what you're saying. And I feel so blessed myself just to sit here and chatter with you. I feel convicted a little bit, and then I feel you know, inspired, and I feel, and that's what I want people to feel too. Like, what can, I want them to use what you just said, all of us, and get out of our funk, you know, to move on to the next thing, to
get
out of it and just say, okay, I've used this for an excuse long enough.
So yeah, I love that U2 song, right? You got stuck in a moment and you can't get out of it. It's like, sometimes you just gotta, I'm not stuck in this moment anymore.
Would you, you know, I feel just really strongly on all the podcasts. I don't have a prayer at the end, but sometimes I just feel like that there will be so many people that hear what you just said, but need to take action on that. You know, they need to be able to start this journey out of this whatever spiral they're in, and not waste the waiting room. So would you mind, Dawn Cherie, just closing out this podcast in prayer? And I just feel like it's going to be life-changing for all of us that are listening.
Absolutely. God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for every person listening or watching. God, thank you that you see them. God, you know them. Lord, you know everything about them. You know them better than they know themselves. And God, I just pray that today, if there's any barrier, if there's any division in their heart, Lord, that they would surrender all of who they are to you fully. And God, that they would trust you with their life. Lord, I thank you that you have a plan for our lives and that you have the best plan. And God, none of us want to settle for second best. We all want your plan, the plan that was created before our life began. Lord, the plan that that you created every detail of who we are to fulfill. And so, Lord, in this moment, we ask that you would guide our steps. We know that the steps of a righteous man, of a righteous woman, they are ordered. So we're going to trust the order. Lord, when we can't see every bit of the journey, we're going to trust the order. And Lord, I pray that if there's fear or intimidation or insecurity, that it would leave in Jesus' name, that they would be removed from the table of our hearts. And Lord, that the fruit of the Spirit would take residence, love, joy, peace, patience. God, I pray that a kindness and a warmth, Lord, would well up in our souls, Lord, that maybe our hearts been cold and stale as we've waited, bitter and bruised. Lord, I pray that you would heal hearts that are hurting today. And God, fill us with a passion for people around us. God, we'll never be fulfilled just seeking what our own heart desires. But God, if we seek to love those around us and to love you, Lord, we find fulfillment and purpose. We see a vision, Lord, for our life that is so much larger. And so, God, I pray that you would bring revelation to hearts, even as I'm praying, specifically of what you want to say to each of us in this season, the way that you want to reframe what we're seeing, Lord, that we would see through a lens of strength, of courage, of sacrifice, of deep sacrificial love, and of joy, Lord. Reframe what we see. And Lord, let us walk and what you've created, Lord, our path to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I just thank you, thank you, thank you. I honestly, you know, I said to several friends, I don't know why I started a podcast, but for one thing, I know this, it's for me.
That's great. That's how I feel about my podcast. I feel the same way. I'm like, I want to have the conversations I want to have.
I know this. And I'm so, every time I finish one, I'm so uplifted. And I think, thank you, Lord, that you gave me my own personal Bible study today with Dawn Cherie. And I got you for, you know, 35 minutes by myself.
Thank you, God.
Gosh, I can't thank you enough. And I just, God bless you and VU Church and Rich and the kids, and that would just abundantly bless you. And more than you guys have even had or dare to dream. I just believe that we, you know, we say this all the time, and people say it all the time. They come to our church, the best is yet to come. And I say this, and I go, oh yeah. But honestly, truly, I think, you know, you've built an army with your family now, and you've got ministry partners in those little children. They're going to be with you for years to come. And I just pray for your family. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. I love you so much. Thank you for having me on. We love you all.
Thank you for joining me today on Table Talks. For more content and information about upcoming episodes, please visit my website at kwoodward.com. You can also explore other podcast links and resources there. Until next time.